browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you've joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. We're talking about a subject, an issue that I believe we need to understand and grasp as Christians. We hear a lot about social justice. Social justice is literally, if you want to boil it down, it's the essence of Marxism, socialism, communism, and that is equally dividing everything, that there's an equal division and spreading of the distribution of wealth and privilege and opportunity and income, etc., etc., for everybody. That is the approach that has been taken, and it's on the basis that, well, we cannot leave anybody out. We've got to help everybody, and so those that are having trouble with sexual dysphoria, somehow, some way, we need to embrace them, love them, celebrate them, and not say anything about it. God's Word says it's sin, and God's Word said that if it's continued, that person is going to die and go to hell. Now, that is in flying in the face of what is called social justice today. And when you find judges ordering the release of criminals because it's supposed to be social justice. One judge recently had an illegal invader that was before her in the court. And when she discovered that ICE was there to arrest that person, she allowed the court case to be dismissed temporarily while she allowed the attorney and that defendant to be ushered through the judge's chambers out the back door to try to prevent ICE from arresting that person. And she, the judge, did that based on social justice. Now listen carefully. When that happened, God's biblical justice took effect. They arrested her. The judge was arrested. That's God's justice. That's biblical justice. It is an absolute fact, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Scripture, and Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about that in just a moment. What does the Bible say about biblical justice in contrast to social justice? I believe Derby's on the line. Derby, go over to question or comment, please.
My comment is my own common sense definition of justice. Justice is punishing the criminal and compensating the victim. And the punishment should be severe enough to make sure the criminal doesn't think twice about committing another crime. As for the victim, it should be so that the victim is made whole as it was or until they are satisfied. And one thing about punishment and jails and corrections, have you noticed how most criminals, when you hear the national or local news, the reporter says, and so, he or she had a criminal record. Why are they on the street again? If they have a criminal record, they were not reformed. So the justice correctional system is a joke. They should not be out there committing more crimes and more crimes. Well, what is the use of, there's no justice there. Punishment is what is needed.
Darby, you're exactly right. Let me do a little parenthetical footnote to what you said. In Genesis, the ninth chapter, God introduces God's governance system, and he does so in Genesis 9 with the capital punishment. Capital punishment meaning if you take a person's life, your life is to be surrendered. That has not been followed through. In fact, state after state after state passes state laws that's against capital punishment. I've said, and I'm in agreement with you, I've said for many, many, many years, if a person commits murder, he needs to have a brief trial, not retrial and retrial, and 20 years later, having justice carried out. Once the trial is over, once he's found guilty, there needs to be the immediate carrying out of public execution in some fashion. And if you do that a couple of times, we will stop murder across America in about a 24-hour period of time. When the individual realizes there is biblical justice, God's justice, to be carried out if the law is broken in that fashion. So you're exactly right. The problem is that we're not doing that. We have today, as you know, criminals in what is called federal institutions or state institutions called jails or prisons. And in those prison systems, it's mostly like a country club, where they can have their pornography, they can have television, they can have conjugal visits from a partner, and all of that is set up so that we carry out social justice, even in the, quote, justice system, and that is simply unbiblical. It is totally unbiblical. So, Derby, you're exactly right. And when you look at the scripture, we find that that's exactly what God is doing. And Dr. Phelps and I are going to talk about that. Derby, thank you so much for your call today. Dr. Phelps, when we just talking with Derby about God's justice and carrying out punishment, tell us the biblical account of Haman and Mordecai in the little book of Esther of what took place, why it took place, and how that is a good conclusive evidentiary statement in relationship to biblical justice.
In the ancient kingdom of Persia, the king Ahasuerus was a good king, and he was interested in doing what was right. I have a feeling that this man had some respect for the things of God. Mm-hmm. And there were people among the people of Persia who had been taken captive in the previous administration under Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. When Babylon fell, then the Persians became the rulers, the leaders in that part of the country. And instead of calling it Babylon, it was called ancient Persia. And there was a man of the name of Haman who was promoted in the kingdom. And he thought that everything was going well for him. And he only thought of himself.
That's a good illustration, by the way, of a Democrat. Go ahead.
Haman was a man who was a descendant of the Amalekites, the ancient enemies of Israel. Mm-hmm. And in the course of time, the king asked or was promoting Haman and saying things that were in favor of his leadership. And Haman began to act in pride. And the king asked him a question at one time, what he thought should be done for someone who had done things well in the kingdom and protected the king. That happened to be a man by the name of Mordecai. He had reported a plot upon the king's life. Mm-hmm. And so Haman didn't understand what that was all about. He thought when the king asked him a question about promoting people who were well deserving of that, that he was talking about him.
That's right.
He wanted to be promoted and honored and reverenced and even worshipped. Mm-hmm. And so he suggested to the king, well, here's some things that should be done to him. He said, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king uses to wear, and a horse that the king rides upon, and a royal crown set upon his head, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes. He was thinking of himself there. So he got the job of honoring Mordecai, somebody that he despised. Mm-hmm. He hated the Jewish people. He hated Mordecai. And Mordecai was a godly man, godly person, who wanted to honor God even though he was in a foreign country. And so Haman was given that job to do that. And Mordecai then was allowed to be set upon a horse and given a royal parade. But Haman didn't like what he was doing, and he went home and cried about that to his family and his relatives, and they had this time of plotting something that they could do. They said, let's build the gallows and let's hang Mordecai. Mm-hmm. But during the night, God began to work his, I call it divine justice. Mm-hmm. God wouldn't let the king rest. The king called for his helpers to look at the records of the events that had happened in, just recently. And they uncovered a document that told how Mordecai, this Jewish man who was very faithful and dependable and honest and who really wanted justice. And they discovered that Mordecai is the man that should be honored. He should be recognized. Mm-hmm. But Haman wanted him hanged. Well, God worked it out through Esther to find that he was the guilty one. He's the one behind all of the strife and difficulty and the hatred. And Haman then was sentenced to be hanged himself. And that's God's justice.
God's biblical justice. Haman wanted to see Mordecai hanged, but God turned it that his biblical justice put Haman on the gallows and not Mordecai. Yeah. That, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find what I think is a pristine illustration of God's biblical justice, that's exactly it. The very one that wanted to harm, hurt, and destroy Mordecai was the one that wound up on the gallows. And we could find illustration after illustration after illustration in the scripture of God's biblical justice. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Good day. God bless. I don't know if you can hear me all right. Can you hear me all right?
Very good. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not able to find my speaker button. Okay, right. I was just wanting to make like a contribution to the discussion, but such an important topic. My understanding of this social justice or socialism is just one of the Marxist key strategies. Marxism, one of the key strategies in getting the point over and converting the nations into under communism, to lose our freedom and get under control. It's one of the key strategies because they use English words like social, and that is tricky. It sounds very innocent and good, social, everybody taken care of, and social justice sound good. Broken humanity is not capable of all. It is only being that expression, socialism and social justice, is being manipulated by the powers of darkness to carry out their agenda. There are a lot of people who fall for socialism because the word sound innocent and good, but it is being manipulated. It's a strategy. This is a Marxist strategy to achieve their end. That you look at it. Look at the people who are telling you that some are too rich under capitalism, some are too rich and some too poor. Some have too much and some don't have, and things like that. Watch them who telling you that they're looking out for you, looking out for the poor. Look how crafty and careful they are to accumulate for their own personal self while they're doing that. They're using, this is a strategy used to achieve the Marxist agenda. And America need to wake up and be alert. America has been toying with evil. We're listening to the powers of darkness, and now our culture is in big trouble, our freedom. This is the one country representing the free world, and the powers of darkness is determined to destroy this country. Because what is it for? Globalism have no use for a strong America. Globalism, America must go down. And we should open our eyes and see that our country is being destroyed, because our country is moving right into bankruptcy. Unless the Lord had intervened as he did with the election, the last election, America is being underground, pushed down, destroyed. It's not getting anywhere. And now Trump have a near impossible task to see to rescue this country. And if Christians don't wake up and showing their lot behind to support him, God can, God give a nation what we deserve.
I think absolutely.
Prayers are going up, and God has answered prayer. And God has done what he has done for this country.
Right.
And we are grateful, but we have to, the powers of darkness, only using those expressions. Make you sound like they're looking out for your social. Look at how corrupt. One last point, Dr. Youngblood. Look at what they're doing to the culture. They're playing God, you know. They're doing what God alone is just and is able to deal with. The planet and so easy one taking care of the planet. Look at what they do now with the things like in our education system to our children. All the work, the social justice, working to turn the culture upside down and destroy it. Because one evil, you don't replace one evil by a worse.
Lily, if I could jump in for a moment, you're exactly right. In fact, I'm looking at an article that talks about God's biblical justice. It says the judgments of God are true and righteous altogether, Psalms 19:9. Adam and Eve saw the justice of God when they were punished for their sin. God's justice requires him dealing with our sin. Scripture records many instances, this writer said, of God's justice being meted out for mankind's rebellion, for the flood of Noah day, and the plagues in Egypt, and the destruction of Ahab and Jezebel's house, and the Babylonian captivity, just to name a few. The justice of God is demonstrated fully at the cross. And so, Lily, you're exactly right. We're witnessing and watching an attempt to undermine, tear down, and destroy God's justice and to replace it with social justice. And as you so aptly said, it is a kind sound, but I have simply said social justice is an abbreviation for socialism justice, and that is the socialism that wants to overthrow and destroy America. And so far, Lily, let's face it. The Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party have been pretty successful in getting the general populace to believe that that is an ideal way. We love everybody. We want to take care of everybody, make sure everybody has a paycheck, everybody has a job, everybody has equal access, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the epitome of socialism, Marxism, and communism. So, Lily, you're exactly right. It deserves our prayer, our recognition, and our stand as Christians to pray, to confess our sins, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. Lily, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your joining in the discussion today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Dr. Phelps, what other illustrations in the scripture can we identify as God's biblical justice? What about Joseph? What does the scripture say about Joseph and God's justice and what his brothers tried to do in trying to, as they sold him into slavery? Share with our audience the information about that.
In the book of Genesis, chapter 44 and 45, we read the wonderful story of a man called Joseph. He was
son of Jacob, one of the many sons that Jacob had, but he was one of the favorite sons. Mm-hmm. And because of the jealousy that was created there in that family, the older sons decided that they need to get rid of him, need to move him out. He's in the way. There's no recognition of us. Sometimes we're just overlooked. And so they decided to sell him into slavery. There were some traders who were coming close by where they were watching their flocks and in the fields, and they made a trade with them, sold Joseph. He was taken to Egypt, and there he was sold like a slave to one of the high officials in the Egyptian society. Mm-hmm. And later, he was falsely accused. Joseph was sent to prison, and there God was preparing him for a great work that he had for him to do. Later, he was called upon to try to give an answer to the king's vision that he saw. He had a dream. No one could interpret it. And Joseph had a reputation while he was in prison of doing just that. Mm-hmm. So God used that situation to bring him before Pharaoh, where he found favor with the Pharaoh, was promoted to a high position.
He became prime minister.
Like a prime minister. Mm-hmm. He was second in command in Egypt, and God used him in a mighty way to preserve the life of many people, and especially the Jewish family of Jacob.
Yes, and one of the key elements of that, Dr. Phelps, that always is a blessing to me, he told his brothers, when his brothers discovered that that's who he was, when they were having a famine back in their land, went to Egypt to try to get food, they discovered that Joseph, their brother, that they sold into slavery, Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good." That's God's biblical justice. God's biblical justice. And Dr. Phelps, as we think on that, I'm reminded of a name that everybody in America should understand, Letitia James. Letitia James prosecuted President Trump with 4 or 5 different major charges that supposedly he had falsified records, he had over-evaluated property so that he could borrow more money from the banks, never mind the fact that all the banks were repaid, never mind the fact that some of the bankers testified in his lawfare trials that he had not harmed them in any way. In fact, they wanted to lend him more money. But with the lawfare, President Trump had to pay some $450 million in a fine, and he was headed for a fast track of being railroaded and going to jail. Fortunately, God divinely intervened. President Trump was elected. That's been put on the shelf, been set aside. And now Letitia James, the one that brought those false, phony lawfare charges, is now charged with 5 different counts of real estate falsification of documents. In one of them, that her dad pretended to be her husband and signed the mortgage documents as the husband of Letitia James in order to falsely borrow money in a bank loan. So I find it ironic, interesting, and if you please, not rejoicing in the harm to anybody, but rejoicing the fact that God's biblical justice plays out even today. Then you look at Fannie Willis in Georgia, where the lawfare took place, and she was in the process of prosecuting President Trump. Now she's being prosecuted with 4 or 5 different charges. She's being investigated by the House of Representatives. She's been commanded by subpoena to go for an interview with the House of Representatives. She's refused the subpoena and now could be put in sentenced to jail as a result of that. God's divine biblical justice is at play. We see that over and over and over in the Word of God. Are the other illustrations, and I know time won't allow us to go over them all, are the other illustrations, Dr. Phelps, of God's biblical justice taking place?
One of those that I'm thinking about is in the life of Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel was accused of disobeying the king. A decree was made. No one could make a petition or like a prayer to anyone except the king for 30 days. But Daniel was a man who would meet with God. He had appointment with God three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he met and talked with God three times a day. Well, after this decree was made, that didn't alter his fellowship with God at all. He continued to do that. And the Bible tells us that these governors, these officials, these political people all got together, and they had the king sign a decree that anyone who failed to do the king's decree would be cast into the den of lions.
Yes.
That seems like a rather harsh treatment for criminals, but that was something that did take place in ancient times. Well, the truth is that they then thought that they would just watch Daniel and see what he would do, and they observed him praying three times a day.
As he had aforetimes.
And they accused him before the king, and the law of the Medes and Persians could not be altered, so the king could not back down on this decree. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and overnight, the king himself was just staying up and wondering what's happening to Daniel. Early in the morning, he went to the lion's den and looked in and called for Daniel. Is your God able to save you from the mouth of the lions? Daniel said, yes, sir, I'm well and able. And he lifted his head from one of the sides of the lions and looked up at the king and said, are you having a good day, king?
Yeah.
I'm doing fine down here.
And then the bottom line was, what happened to those naysayers that threw him in?
All of these socialists and Marxists and Democrats who had Daniel accused and had the accusations against him, they and their families were thrown into the den.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the epitome of God's biblical justice. We're delighted that you joined us today. Looking forward to, ladies and gentlemen, meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.